It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
So I actually took my wife out to eat last night. As I told most of you yesterday, it was the 65th birthday. She gets on Medicaid, Medicare, and all that stuff. She didn't care. She's the prettiest 65-year-old you ever see. Just marvel every day. I said, honey, I walk into these places, men look at you and say, how'd that fat, short fat guy get you? And anyway, she and I took her out to eat last night for her birthday dinner. We went to a place called Bly's. Anyway, someplace in Canal Winchester, Ohio. And they put right outside a great big sign, if you wear a mask, you're not welcome. I'm not making it up. You can't come in here with a mask on. And so I decided, hey, that sounds like a good place. Blaisdell Farm. I don't know if you ever heard of it. So I took Michelle there last night, and for the first time, she said in weeks, she ate outside, she ate out and felt comfortable. Somebody wasn't coming around every 28 seconds to tell you to pull it up over your nose and social distance and wash your hands and wipe your butt and... Thank you. She said Blythe Stone Farms. Throw that up there real quick. I'm going to give them some free advertising. Blythe, there it is. There it is. It's in Canal Winchester, Roger, just down the road from you. Welcome to Blythe Stone Farm. We got it up there. I got it up there. My wife's yelling at me, whispering at me. I'm sorry. So Blystone free advertising. We went there last night. You can't go in there. It's a nice little restaurant pub, moderately priced. And they had a Patriot meeting there last Saturday. They had a lot of people there, but you walk in there, if you got a mask on, you can't come in there. It's awesome. It's awesome. And they left us alone and it was good. And I don't know why I'm telling you that other than, praise the Lord. These are the kind of things that we have to start doing, man, if we're gonna be successful. I'll send you guys their Blystone. I'll send you a bill. Hey, it's more than that. It's a butchery. They grow their own black Angus and then they slice them up and cut them up. You buy meat there, you buy cheese. It's pretty neat little place. Pretty neat place. Okay, so listen, three things before I get really, really rolling here. Spencer, go to our website. Polly and Gary and the crew that's helping us here at behind the scenes at CoachDaveLive.com said, we got 100 and some signups last week. 100 and some. 100, I don't know what the number was. People who actually went to CoachDaveLive.com and signed up. Now, again, we promise you we are not going to bombard you. But we got to know who you, if we're going to build a team, we got to know who's on the team. And so we'd ask you, please, you can do it right now. Just go to CoachDaveLive.com and go to sign up. Just sign up. It's all we want you to do. Because Gary's working really, really hard on putting together, again, state groups, regional groups. So like when Clay wants to get his Appalachia Salt and Light Brigade down there in Tennessee, he knows who to reach out to. He knows who the people are. And so it's really, really valuable to us. And we won't give your information to anybody else. So if you can, go there, email, sign, just name, email. You don't have to give us your phone if you don't want to. You don't have to do that. But we got to know who you are. Okay, so please do that. And then tonight, John Diamond is going to be in our midst. And John's going to do a God and country appeal to heaven. How are we getting this mess presentation tonight? We would hope pastors would come, but we only had a very, very short notice to put it together. But listen, we are going to do a hangout, just like this, except it's going to be live as John makes his presentation tonight. It's going to start from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock. If you're bored, you can tune in and watch it. It's not going to be interactive, probably. I don't think we figure out how to give you the ability to be able to ask questions, but you'll be able to watch John's entire presentation. And I just said, hey, John, come in there real quickly, because I asked you, is it going to be PowerPoint? And you said no. Explain, John, if you could, explain to folks what you're going to talk about tonight.
What we're looking at right now is we need something to unify Americans, and they've got us divided on the DNR lines. Oh, I'm a Democrat. I'm a Republican. What we need to do, every Reformation goes back to the beginning. So what I'm going to do tonight, we're going to look at the Declaration of Independence, and we're going to make a very clear distinction of what it means to be an American and what it means to be everything else.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I mean, we have people voting for Democrats who will actually agree with what we say, but they're putting people in office who are the opposite of what they believe. So we need to get rid of this DR mentality, and we just need to say, I forget which founding father it was, but he said, am I, basically a Republican or a Democrat? And he said, I'm a Christocrat. He said, I believe he who created man is best qualified to rule over him. And that's what we need to get back to.
Amen, John. I'm looking forward to it. And folks, if you're within an hour or so's driving distance, I'd sure love for you to come. It's at 5285 Fairfield Beach Road in Thorndale. I think we got it up on the website now. It'll be a good event. I really have in my heart this desire to start doing these kind of things monthly, not just with John, but with another areas. Bring in some people who can really, really educate us on exactly what's going on. Scripture says people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So again, we're going to live stream it tonight. Say, Coach, how do I find the live stream? CoachDaveLive.com. Click on Join the Huddle, just like you always do, and you'll be able to watch what John's presenting there. Okay, cool. Man, I was up early. I was up at, 5 o'clock. Boy, I woke. I had the deepest sleep last night. Praise the Lord. Went to bed fairly early. And, man, I slept like a rock. Thank you, Jesus. And 5 o'clock, though, man, it's like somebody set an alarm off in my head, and I was up. And I've been doing – I got about 12 different directions I want to go today, but I have to do this one. I want to take you here first because I just think it's important. And, again, you're free. It is sort of a flea flicker Friday. Jump in here anytime you want, anything you want. But here's what the Lord really, really impressed upon me. Let's start with, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey, before you jump in real quick, I'm going to have to take the kids to school and then get ready for my trip today. I just want to say something to the people in the audience here. Some of you have been donating to our ministry, and I really want to appreciate that. The guys in Georgia have been donating. The guys in Tennessee have been donating. So I just want to give a thank you out before I have to jump off here for the day. So appreciate it. And thank you guys for what you're doing.
Hey, folks, listen, I've been doing ministry for, almost 20 years, not quite, 18 years. And our ministry is funded by donations. It's the $20, $25 a month that keep, yeah, we have guys, people who give more. But I'm telling you, the base of what we do here is the $20, $25, $50 donations a month that keep us gone. And John's saying the same thing. Let's be honest. Some of you probably aren't in a giving mode at a church anymore. And Lord loves a cheerful giver. And I just suggest that you find guys like what you're seeing here and support it. Can I tell you something? I don't believe in tithing. I believe in the principle of it, but I believe in giving. And I just think that some of you out there just can help fund some of these guys who are really, really doing this great work by just send them $25 a month. Send them $20 a month, and I know John would really appreciate it. John hadn't worked in how long? John has his church going on, but he hadn't worked in 6 months, 7 months,
7 months,
7 months. We gotta keep this guy hungry. Not hungry. We gotta keep him fed. He's got some boys. We gotta keep this guy fed because he's doing the work. I'm not gonna talk about it. I wanna show you something here today. I want us all to ask ourselves this question. I want to do a little bit of a teaching, not a teaching, that's not the right word, but an overview of Romans 13. Although we've done this many times, I want you to ask yourself this question. What are you really going to do when the authorities come to your door and say, here, take this vaccination? Or what are you really going to do when word goes out, you don't get vaccinated, You can't go to Kroger's. Or the word goes, folks, this stuff is right at our door. And that I did stagger. I sent a text message to my wife yesterday. A pastor friend of mine was on Facebook, and he posted on Facebook, praise the Lord, I'm paraphrasing, praise the Lord, I just took my second vaccination, and my wife will get her first one tomorrow. And my stomach sunk. These are our Christian leaders, who have no concept of what's going on around us. But then, see, we've all bought into this. We're in the mess that we're in because we've bought into this false sense that good Christians always obey the government. I'm going to tell you this, my friends. I believe it in the depth of my being that the day's coming when that crucible's coming to your life. Are you going to obey the government, or are you going to obey God? And unfortunately, there are those in the church who are going to tell you that you are to always obey God. I'm sorry, always to obey the government. And I'm going to show you a video here in regards to that. But I want to show you a larger thing that's going on with the vaccinations. And sometimes I feel like a broken record talking about this stuff over and over. But some of you still don't get it. Some of you still don't get it. And if you're anything like me, you're having the greatest trouble with those you love the most, who think, Dad, you're a kook. Dad, you're the amen. Put your thumb in the air and say, yep, know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. We have to prepare ourselves, folks. We are out ahead. We're out ahead in knowledge. For whatever reason, the Lord's tapped you on the back and he told you, watch this, and your eyes are open and you see and you understand. And those around you who still think Lee Harvey Oswald killed John F. Kennedy by himself. You know the kind of people I'm talking about, right? The people who still think that the planes brought down the towers. You know what I'm talking about? Somebody say, Coach, you're crazy. I know I am. We're surrounded by people who still think government has their best interests at heart. It's amazing. And so these two kingdoms are about to come into conflict like we have never seen in our lifetime. You say, what two kingdoms? The kingdom of God and the kingdom of government, folks. Who do we obey? That's coming. Now, everybody knows Build Back Better. Get that ready for me there if you can, Spencer. Everybody knows that Joe Biden's re-election or election campaign is Build Back Better. Build Back, which I thought, by the way, I don't know if I've ever heard anything dumber than that. Build Back Better. That's Joe Biden's slogan. Is it? Is that really just Joe Biden's slogan? Well, just sit back here for a minute and 53 seconds and see if Joe Biden's the only one saying it. Go ahead, brother. Play that.
A pertinent question to ask, how do we build back better?
To build back better or whatever.
We have a chance to reset the clock and build back better than before.
To build back better than before.
Remember the terrible damage of COVID as we try to build back from this global pandemic.
Joe Biden calls it Build Back Better.
Build Back Better.
Building Back Better.
To do things differently. To build back better.
We're going to build it back better.
And build it back better.
It's my plan to build back better.
Start taking all the problems that have been created in education and mental health and start to build back in a positive way.
I have launched a booklet called Build Back Better, Britain After Coronavirus.
It's about building this country back better.
Growing conspiracy following it. It is called the Great Reset.
An unprecedented opportunity to rethink and reset the ways in which we live.
The great opportunity for reset.
The theory even calls Mr. Biden's campaign slogan, Build Back Better, a front for the conspiracy.
Build back better.
Building back better our economy.
Build back better.
All elements of the Great Reset are fundamental to building the future we need.
This pandemic has provided an opportunity for a reset.
It's a big effort to, some would say, to build back better,
we would say, to really have a great reset.
Conspiracy, conspiracy,
conspiracy.
Build back better. Folks, I'm going to tell you this. If you think those people that you just watched, those world leaders are talking about the expansion of Christianity, you got yourself another thing coming. And they are hell-bent, the kings of this earth, Psalm 2, conspiring against the Lord and his anointed. They are doing everything they can. Folks, from the very beginning, the devil wanted the Lord's throne. From the very beginning. That's what the whole thing's been about. Is it the five I wills? Where is that? Is that in, I can't remember where that is. Isaiah? I will.
Yep.
I will ascend. I will be like the Most High God. I. And so from the very, very jump start, funny word, the enemy has been trying to build back better without the Lord. Man-made ways, communism, socialism, humanism, every possible way that they could to try to destroy everything that's created in the image of God. That's our battle. We've allowed the infiltration of all this stuff into our schools, and look around, and the Bible tells us that there's going to be a mother against father and daughter against mother, and enemies going to be those of your own household. And look around. I could, if I jumped right in here, there's 98 of us in here right now, and I let every one of you tell the horror stories of the division within your own families, we wouldn't have enough time in the day to be able to hear all of them. See, I don't know what went wrong, Coach. I don't know what went wrong. We raised them in Sunday school, and we took them to church, and just something happened somewhere along the line. All of a sudden, and Coach, I don't know. They're so far out there. I can't even put your thumb up if you know what I'm talking about, right? And so this assault has been gone on and on and on, and we've been perpetuators of it on our own because we have not done what we really believed. We did not believe that Jesus Christ was the way, the truth, and the life. We did not believe that Jesus Christ was truth. We did not believe that Jesus Christ was King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that Jesus Christ was over the government, and government's not over Jesus Christ. We gave up the ship. We gave up the ship. And now we're in a tizzy here, man. We're in a tizzy. And I, you know, Chad Estes, a couple days ago, we got in a little bit of an after show. Chad said something, and I bit back at him. I didn't take it the wrong way. He said, you know, we have to be careful about idolizing Donald Trump. I don't idolize Donald Trump. I don't idolize him. But I understood him as being the vehicle that appeared that the Lord was using to help us fight back. We had 4 years of Donald Trump, and hold your ears, the church didn't do a damn thing. Church didn't do a damn thing. I'm going to say it again. The church didn't do a damn thing. We're still murdering babies. We're still promoting homosexuality to our children. We can't figure out why we're losing our children, now on the verge of losing our grandchildren. And we don't get it. We don't understand that deep in the middle of it is the complicit nature and actions of the government. The government is doing everything they can to undermine Jesus. The kings of this earth conspiring against the Lord. Y'all with me? Y'all with me on this? This is the battle that's before us. How are we going to save the world when we can't even save our children? How are we going to do that? We've lost our children. And thank God, God came along and whatever happened, gave us a pandemic and emptied those damn schools. Praise the Lord. And now people are whining and groaning because their kids can't go back to them because the parents are inconvenienced. Now the parents got to sit around instead of letting somebody else fill their minds full of muss with crap. Parents are now, I got to stay home and do it. Well, why does that happen? Well, could it be happening because you're being overtaxed? Could it be? Could it be the wife has to work because they're taking half of the husband's income? So she has to go work and earn money, and then somebody else educates the kids, and you wake up and they're 17 years old, and you say, where'd Joe go? What happened to Joe? We don't understand it. We don't understand that the government is not benevolent. Say, Coach, are you anti-government? I don't know. Am I? Am I anti-government? What does that even mean? I'm not anti-government, but I'm certainly anti this crap that they're trying to force us to do. Oh, my goodness. Pull up. I got some good videos. I got some good stuff to do. So I'm going to pull up the man in the arena. I got this. This is how you know when the Holy Spirit's all over something. I got this from four different people yesterday. This. I had seen it before. This is Teddy Roosevelt. We've all heard the man in the arena. Because I'm going to tell you something. Some of you are about to get in it. Some of you are already in the arena. And some of you are about to get in the arena. And you're going to have to get in the arena. And this was a quote, a speech from Teddy Roosevelt, the man in the arena, and says this is one of the greatest speeches in history. It's 2 minutes and 48 seconds. Go ahead, Teddy Roosevelt, the man in the arena.
The poorest way to face life is to face it with a sneer. There are many men who feel a kind of twisted pride in cynicism. There are many who confine themselves to criticism of the way others do what they themselves dare not even attempt. There is no more unhealthy being, no man less worthy of respect, than he who either really holds or feigns to hold an attitude of sneering disbelief toward all that is great and lofty.
Amen.
Whether in achievement or in that noble effort which, even if it fails, comes to second achievement. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again. Because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds? Who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly. So that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat.
Amen. Spend yourself in a worthy cause.
Hey, could he put that in the chat?
Yeah, put that in the chat. Spend yourself in a worthy cause. I was having a discussion with Michelle yesterday. We were driving down the road and I got reflecting on my past football coaching. Some of the great teams we had and the great experiences we had. And I lamented to her, talking specifically, it doesn't matter where, it's talking about how the last place I got fired. What a terrible tragedy it was for those players that selfish parents were able to run me out the door. Selfish parents wanting their own selfish little boy to be the quarterback so their own selfish family could come and cheer for their own selfish little kid. And Christian people in position of authority bowed to those selfish people. And what was stolen from those young children grieved me. And Michelle said something like, you know, sometimes she calls me coach, believe it or not. She says, but you've moved on to bigger and better things. And I said, yeah, I think so. I think I have. I think about the roads, the wolves I used to run with, or the lions I used to run with, and they were wolves. I don't run with them. I run with lions now. And I sit here at 68 years old and watch my wife celebrate her 65th Medicare, Medicaid birthday. And ask myself this. Will the last years of my life be spent in a worthy cause or not? The last days of my life, are they going to be sitting in a Winnebago down on the beaches in Panama City, Florida? Are the last days of my life going to be spent riding around, visiting all these, getting on a train and riding clear out to Oregon on the train? Am I going to live my life in the last years out of selfishness? Or am I going to spend it in a worthy cause? And I think those of us who are in here right now, most of us are, we're on the top side of young, aren't we? Most of us. We're on the downhill side. And we of all people ought to be the ones who are least worried about our lives, least worried about what people are going to say to us. We of all people ought to be the ones who are the trailblazers, those who are willing to spend our lives in a worthy cause. And it's right before us, right now, like no time ever. And WAF, in fact, every disappointment you've had, every success you've had, every dollar you've earned, every dollar you've lost, everything you've done has prepared you and brought you into the kingdom for such a time as this. It's a sobering and humbling thought, isn't it? Do you want your greatest days to be behind you or in front of you? I want mine to be in front of me. I want them to burn me at the stake, if you know what I'm saying. I don't want them to come and visit me in the nursing home. I want them to set me on fire for all to see. I don't have a death wish. You guys understand what I'm saying? I want my life to be spent in a worthy cause. Come on in, Glenn.
Yeah, Coach, that's the challenge for each one of us, Coach. Nobody could have said it better than what you just said. That is the challenge at this time.
Amen, Glenn. And Michelle and I spent the last 4 days with our grandbaby staying with us. And they left last night. That's one of the reasons I took her out to eat. She needed some time off from those little rugrats. God bless those little rugrats. But those little rugrats, their future depends on what their grampy does here and now. Not on my Winnebago trip to Florida. Oh, no. I was looking the other day, beginning to fill up my calendar, or Pass the Salt calendar. And you know what thought went through my head as I'm doing? I'm looking down there. I'm looking at all the places that I'm getting ready to go. Huddle here and a huddle there. Here, a huddle there, huddle everywhere, huddle. And I'm thinking, damn, don't I ever get to be home? That's what went through my head. Damn, can I just sit home? No. No! I can't. And neither can you. We can't afford. Now, we need rest, don't get me wrong. We need to spend ourselves on a worthy cause. Pull up, if you can for me, the video from Pastor Matt. It says Romans 13. Pastor Matt Twella. This is the heart of what I want to talk to you about today. I started out and it got away from me a little bit. Is it biblical? What do you mean video unavailable? What the heck does that mean? Let me see if I sent you the wrong one. Yeah, it says video unavailable. What the heck? I hate it when this happens. I'm going to find it. Somebody come in here and talk a minute while I find it.
Hey, can I say something about Teddy Roosevelt real quick?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Go ahead.
You know, I wouldn't be who I am today if I wasn't listening to this huddle. And I also wouldn't be who I am today without reading about Teddy Roosevelt. That man, if you're homeschooling, you ought to teach about him, let people read about him. He wasn't born a tough guy. Well, he was tough in spirit. He wasn't tough physically. He had to work to get that way, and he became tough as heck. And I don't know if all our, but one time he got shot in the chest in the middle of a speech and would not go to the hospital, finished his speech. Another time he was trying to, I don't remember if it was in Congress or some other kind of meeting, but what he was speaking was not what people wanted to hear. So he ended up, He ended up taking the leg off a table and holding it to defend himself while he finished what he had to say. So I just want to put that out there. That's a real man right there, and that's what we need at this day and time.
Hey, listen, nobody plans to be great. Greatness just happens, okay? It just happens. You prepare yourself for the moment and that you won't come up short when it's needed. I just sent you the video, Spencer. I just sent it to you. Because I think
that's what Teddy Roosevelt said, that some are born great and others have greatness thrusted upon them.
That's right. Coach, that's right.
That's what you've done. And let me tell you what, brother, you have stepped up to the plate, not by your words, not by your, you know, great preaching or coaching, but brother, by your actions.
Amen. Pastor Dale, when they stick me in that cold gray old box, and I told you what my tombstone is going to say, here lies a dangerous man. I don't really care whether they love me or not. I want to know that I left a footprint. I think that's what we all want to do, right? Okay, so here's Matt Tuella. Put it at 1.5 so it doesn't take quite for long. But folks, listen. We've got to get out of the idea that Christians are to always obey the government. Friends, are you going to stand before the Lord? And am I going to, for you to know to do good, and not to do it, the Bible says, to you it is sin. Am I going to stand before the Lord and he's going to ask me, did you continue to fund Planned Parenthood? Because you know Joe Biden just signed that, right? You guys know that, right? Joe Biden just signed it. Now we're going to fund Planned Parenthood. We're going to fund abortion all across the world. How are they going to fund it? With my tax dollars and your tax dollars. And what if the Lord says to me, although we're all under the blood, it's all under the blood, what if he says to me, hey, coach, why'd you keep funding that? What am I going to say? The government said I had to. Is that going to be our answer? Well, Pastor Matt Tuella takes us on right here. Again, it's going to take us about 6 minutes. It's worth a watch. Go ahead.
That we are to always obey the civil authorities is Romans 13. But is this true? Does Romans 13 really teach unlimited obedience to the state? When people read Romans 13, they often fail to recognize the limitation clauses that Paul attaches to the text. In verses 3 and 4, the scriptures make clear that the function of the civil authority is to reward those who do good and to punish those who do evil. But when the magistrates pervert their God-given function and begin to punish those who do good and reward those who do evil, men have the duty and the right to obey God rather than man. It is interesting that when it comes to the three great governments, family government, church government, and civil government, people automatically understand that the authority, for example, in family government that the parents possess is not unlimited authority. Even though when the scripture says there in the word of God, children obey your parents, it has no limitation clauses. Everyone understands that does not mean that the parent's authority is unlimited. For example, if a father told his child, you go down to the gas station on the corner and rob it because you're only 12. And if you get caught, you'll get a slap on the wrist. But if I rob it and get caught, I'll go to prison for years. No one would fault the child for not obeying his father. And when it comes to church government, there in Hebrews 13, it says simply obey those who have the rule over you. No limitation clauses. Yet no one takes that authority by church leadership to be unlimited. For example, if a pastor was caught by one of his congregants skimming money out of the offering plate and he told the congregant, don't tell the elders, no one would fault the congregant for telling the elders. But yet for some reason, when it comes to civil authority, where there are limitation clauses, everyone thinks we are to always obey the civil authorities. And that is simply not true. It is something churchmen have taught them and have imposed upon the text. They are committing what is known as an act of eisegesis. Eis is the Greek word for into. Eisegesis means you are reading into the text something that is not there. We want to do exegesis, where we explain the scripture by drawing out the original intended meaning of the author to the hearers. Nowhere does Romans 13 or 1 Peter 2 say that we are to always obey the civil authorities. In fact, there is not a single verse in all the Bible that says we are to always obey the civil government. We want to do proper biblical hermeneutics. Theologians and scholars define biblical hermeneutics as the science and art of biblical interpretation. Good hermeneutics demands that we not read a verse or a passage in a vacuum. The hallmark of good hermeneutics is scripture interprets scripture. In other words, every individual scripture, scripture with a small s, must be interpreted in light of the whole of God's word, scripture with a big
Amen.
S. Scripture interprets scripture. When we look at the whole of God's word, we see that there are many passages which contradict the assertion that we are to always obey the government. For example, Exodus 1, verses 15 through 21 records the story of the Hebrew midwives who were commanded by the king to kill the male Hebrew babies. The scripture says the midwives feared God and therefore refused to kill the male babies. God commended them for their actions, as the scripture states. Therefore, God dealt with the midwives and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. In Daniel chapter 6, we read that the king declared that no one could pray to any deity but only to him. Notice that this law was made in clear contradiction to the word of God. This was a classic showdown where the law of man violated, opposed, and contradicted the law and word of God. Did Daniel obey this law? Did he say, oh, that's a bad law, but we must always obey the state? No, Daniel took a brave and open stand in defiance of this unjust law. The scripture says that when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Notice he knew of the unjust law. Notice his windows were open so all could see his non-compliance with the law. Notice he knelt down on his knees so no one could mistake his defiance of the law. And he did it three times to ensure being noticed. If the assertion is true that God's people are always to obey the laws and orders of the state, this passage stands in complete contradiction to it. Other passages also contradict the assertion that we are to always obey the state. For example, Hebrews 11:23 records how Moses' parents disobeyed the king. The scripture reads, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command." This is recorded in what Christians call the Hall of Fame of Faith. Their actions are commended by the word of God. In the fifth chapter of Acts, the apostles were told by the authorities not to preach about Jesus. They refused to obey them and responded by saying, "We ought rather to obey God than men." When human authority contravenes the law or word of God, we have a duty to obey God rather than man. Matthew 2, verses 1 through 11 recounts how the Magi disobeyed King Herod. They were warned by God himself not to obey the king. So rather than obey the king and return to Jerusalem to tell where Jesus could be found, they departed for their own country another way. And in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 32 and 33, Paul talks about how he avoided the government officials who were attempting to arrest him by escaping down the side of the city wall in a basket. Paul, who penned Romans 13, knew the government officials were trying to arrest him, but rather than submit and obey, he craftily fled. Again, if the assertion is true that God's people are always to obey the laws and orders of the state, these passages stand in complete contradiction to it. In conclusion, Romans 13 does not teach that the government officials possess unlimited authority, nor does it teach that we are to give them unlimited submission.
Amen. When the state commands that which God forbids or forbids that which God commands, we have the duty to obey God, not man.
That was outstanding.
That is outstanding. And Roger, you need to play it at a regular speed because some of those points are so strong that you almost. I'm just telling you, folks, these two kingdoms are coming in conflict. They're coming in conflict. Larry, you got your hand up. Go on in.
Yeah, that was really great. I love the scriptures, the way he tied them in. But let's put it even simpler. You know, it says don't take away or add to the word of God. Too many people are adding the word always when it's not there. It's just as simple as that.
Yep, that's what he said. It's conditional, right? Obey God. Oh, we could say always obey God rather than man. Doesn't say don't obey man. But friends, come on. If they came along and told you that if you had to, in order to eat, you have to vaccinate your children. What if that's a death penalty? What if that's a death sentence that you're giving to your my computer froze up here on me. What's going on? There it is. There it's moving. Now stop that.
That's what's coming, Coach. You know it's coming.
That's the point I'm trying to make here today. I'm not telling everybody to rebel against the government, but when the government oversteps its bounds, what the heck are we supposed to do? Are we to openly obey unrighteous government? And see, we're being taught in the church. Yes, we are. We are supposed to.
Not to take the mark of the beast is a death penalty. So what's the difference in between the two situations?
I'm dropping like flies. Spencer, pull that up there. Dropping like flies.
Coach,
go ahead, Joe.
Let me reverse that for Larry. Taking the mark of the beast is a guarantee of life. You will get to live. We ain't going to kill you. But taking the mark of the beast is eternal damnation that you cannot get out of.
That's right, Joseph. And so we have to practice now pushing back against masks, pushing back against giving them our tax dollars to kill babies, pushing back against the fact that they want to teach homosex to our children. We have to practice not taking the mark of the beast now. Is anybody picking up what I'm laying down? If you don't practice resistance, you will never resist. If you don't practice resistance, you won't know how to resist. So I came across this today. Scroll down this health impact news. I don't even know what it is. I scroll down. This is amazing. Keep going. Story. Look, okay. Story after story after story. Going down. I'm sorry, brother. Keep going. Hold on right there. 50, Did Larry King receive an experiment COVID shot before his death? These are all stories about the vaccine killing people. 53 dead in Gibraltar 10 days after experimental Pfizer mRNA COVID injection started. 181 dead in the U.S. Baseball legend Hank Aaron dead. 10 dead with 51 severe side effects in Germany. 55 Americans have died following an mRNA COVID injection. Norway goes to 29 deaths. 23 seniors have died in Norway. Louisiana woman convulses uncontrollably after having been given the test. 24 dead, 136 infected in New York. They're giving old people nursing homes the COVID shot, and they're dying. Very healthy 56-year-old Miami obstetrician dies after being injected. Perfectly healthy 41-year-old pediatric assistant dies suddenly after being injected. Four people died and 240 got COVID-19 in Israel. In Tennessee, a nurse who passed out on live camera after the COVID vaccine is still alive. 32-year-old Mexican doctor suffers seizures and is paralyzed after taking the shot. 27-year-old Canada health worker faints and suffers multiple seizures after Pfizer COVID vaccine. Huh? And how many people are you coming in contact with every day that don't get it? Call it. Hey, folks. What if that many people were dying after somebody gave them communion? Can you imagine what the media would say? Oh my goodness, they took communion and look what happened to them. Communion's killing everybody, right? Right. Just a cost doing business, I guess. People dying. I'm all over the place. I got to show you one more thing. It's okay. Click on Facebook. Fake Oversight Board Facebook. Want to see something make your toes curl? Facebook has an oversight board. This ought to encourage you. These are the people who are determining what community standards are and making sure Facebook's playing by the rules. And so, They make a commitment to us, these Facebook people. Scroll on down, Spence. Who are these people? Did they show us who they are? Why they do? Go on down, Spencer. Wait, hang on. Well, it doesn't matter. Look at them. Look at these people. Professor of School Law, Queensland University. Professor of Stanford Law School. Senior editor and board member of the Jakarta Post. What the hell's that? Emily Palmer, Associate Lecturer, Interdisciplinary Center. Herzla Israel. Keep on going down. Let's see. I'm not going to read all the names. You can check them out for yourself. I wonder how many of them are pastors. Hey, say, see y'all. Click on that. There are more of them. There they are. These are all the people telling you that's good for faith. These are the ones determining your community standards. Right here they are. There they are. Kings of this earth conspiring against the Lord and his anointed. Right there they are. Unbelievable, huh? I'm all over the place. Somebody come and rescue this show if you can.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I hope people don't hate me for this comment, but this is kind of what I see with... Let me ask this question. Do you think people just follow the government and use... these biblical, you know, that biblical passage there in Romans as an excuse, as an easy way, you know, to ignore their own conscience and just remain weak-minded? Like,
cowardice.
That's the easy
cowardice.
Thing. That's the easy thing. So now I can say the government said I had to. So now I don't even have to have a backbone.
That's cowardice. There's no other way to explain it. Cowardice. And if there's one thing that I love most about when I hate these, I'm sorry, I used to turn I. Because listen. Oh, well, you want to be successful in life? I got this. The Lord told me this yesterday. I was driving down the road. It's very simple. You change me to we and I to us. And
yeah, just
get
look.
The team in the arena. Get the team in the arena, not one man or woman. Get the team in the arena.
Look at the way we were taught to pray as a team. There's not one single first person pronoun in the way Jesus taught us to pray. Amen. Anybody praying I and me, they missed reading that part of the Bible.
So, Rochelle, I missed the point you just made because I was going to make a profound point on top of it. And then I got my brain went sideways on me. What was it I was getting ready to say? Because it was pretty important, but I can't remember what it was.
Hey, Coach.
I don't know, but I have an answer for Rochelle.
Go ahead.
Tune in tonight.
Yeah.
Okay? Because the teaching that John Diamond does on Romans 13 will blow you away. It's really that good.
So, hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
I spent 22 years in the military. And even in the military, we're taught we have the authority as enlisted to disobey an unlawful order.
Nuremberg trials. You have a duty to disobey an unlawful order. You have a duty to do it, right? You have a duty. Unless you're a Christian and the government gives you unjust laws, then you got to follow them because you're a Christian. We've lost our mind, folks. We've absolutely lost.
Don't we also have a duty to overthrow an unjust government? I think that was somewhere in something John's going to talk about tonight.
Yeah, well, see, this is foreign to us, isn't it? This is foreign to Christianity. Do you guys know? They said, you know, Jesus didn't fight against the government. And I'm thinking, how stupid are you folks? How stupid are you? Who do you think the Sanhedrin was? Who do you think Jesus called a brood of vipers? When he went in and cleansed, oh my goodness, where is that? That'd be worth reading, right?
It's called turn the other cheek.
Whitened sepulchres full of dead men's bones and all corruption. Who was he talking to? Folks, the Romans, Jesus said when he stood before Paul, or Pilate, you have no power over me. Jesus the Christ said to the government, you have no power over me. And Jesus the Christ, who tried to put himself under the authority of the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, tried to warn them that they were out of line, and they killed him because he came, dare I say it, he said, I didn't come to undo the law, I came to fulfill it. He said, I came to get you boys back on track. He didn't care about the Romans because his problem was with those who were really in authority over him. And see, the problem we have today is the church thinks the government's in authority over the church. What's wrong with us that we can't see that? Jesus rebelled against ungodly authority. He called them whitened sepulchres full of dead men's bones. He teaches commandments, the doctrines of men, making the word of God of none effect. Who is he talking to? Those who had authority over him, the church leadership. He didn't give a hoot in hell about the Romans. But you say, well, Coach, then why are you so worried about the government? Because we are a republic where the people are the government, where the church is the government. It's the melding of those two together. We can't go back and compare what Jesus did to the Romans to what we're supposed to have here in the United States of America. They are not the same. It's not the same situation. We are the government. We, the people, are the government. And when we, the people, Christians, pull out of government, then they, the government, rule over us. You think I'm crazy? If Jesus was alive today, he'd be marching on Washington, I think. Sorry. He'd be taking church folks and marching on Washington. Because our system of government is a combination of the two. They separated, told us there was a separation between the church and the state. And what a lie. There's no more. You remove the church, there's no morality. When you move the church, everyone does what's right in his own eyes. That's what's going on all around us. And our pastor's saying, yep, just sit there and obey the government. They know what's best for us. Here, take this shot. Do this. Don't do that. Can't you read the sign? Just obey. I feel this so deep. I can't even tell you. Michelle told me last night, she said, they're going to come and get you. Black limo. So yeah, they probably are. I'll probably be one of the first ones. Damn it, I'm going down standing up. I won't be one of those Tim. Bring up Teddy Roosevelt back up. Can you bring him back up there, Spencer? You still got him? I don't ever want to be the very end of it. Very end of it. The last paragraph of that thing. Who at the best know in the end the triumph of high achievement. And who at the worst, if he fails, at least he fails while trying, daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who knew neither victory nor defeat.
Hey, Coach.
I want to know them both. I want to know victory and defeat. I want to know them personally. Go ahead, Jeff.
And who's the cold and timid souls sitting in that building?
Yep, yep. But being led by 6-foot icicles, told that they need to be cold and timid just like him. He obeys the government. He takes the shots. You should take the shot. We should all be good Christians. We should love our neighbor. And meantime, they're killing our neighbor, and the cold and timid souls just sit there because they know neither victory nor defeat. It's quiet today. Come on in, Rochelle.
Last year, I wrote down this list of what the 10-step plan, you know, to kill the USA. And this is what people have, just real quick, I'm just going to tell you real quick what people have seen throughout this year and still been willing to put up with and not look for the truth. First, they told us, you know, ignore the threat of the pandemic. Then they panicked everybody after the virus has incubated and spread. Then they quarantine all the healthy people so they can sit at home and watch conflicting, confusing news of mass death. Then they shut down all the small businesses so everyone can be funneled through these choke points at these huge monopolies like Walmart and Costco, which are somehow immune, and, you know, buy all the toilet paper and forget their vitamins, and then ban the church, but keep the liquor stores and the abortion clinics open. Then turn all the criminals loose so that, you know, there's room for people who still go to church, destroy the economy, seize all control, declare what items are essential. I mean, remember for a while, you couldn't even buy gardening tools, right. Destroy the First Amendment, shut down the food production, packaging and distribution chains, allow China to buy all the businesses, farmlands, and, you know, nobody can operate. Nobody can pay your bills. But, you know, don't worry, y'all. Stay home. Watch Netflix.
Obey the government. Obey the government.
Yeah. Enjoy the mass starvation, cannibalism, and total chaos.
The same government's telling you to wear a mask is the same government that tells you that a baby, is an unborn baby, is not a human being. Come on in, Randy. Come on in, Randy. It's the same government. It's the same government that tells you that a man and a man having sex is normal. That's that same government that they're telling you to obey. Go ahead, Randy.
Yeah, Coach, I just want to give us a few more little weapons here to fight this this error that the church is teaching about obeying civil authority. Isaiah 9:7, where it says the increase of his government. Isaiah 9:7. Okay, Coach, when we have to look at government, we have to look at it. What did Jesus say? The gates of hell, the government of hell won't prevail against the church. God also says, and John says, or Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, that God is the author of peace, okay? Yes. Of his government will be peace, Coach. We're talking about Jesus coming in Isaiah 9:7. Mm-hmm. There's your qualifications, Coach, of government. Where there's peace.
To establish it with judgment. Do you see that, Randy?
Yeah, Coach. I mean, we can
establish it with judgment.
But the point is, Coach, the same people that are teaching to obey to confusion, to the gates of hell, that their teaching is in error. And we need to tell them, Coach, when they say this, if you're in a church and you hear this, stand up in the church service and say that is not true.
That's baloney. That's right. That's baloney. Show me. Oh, man, I want to do 4 hours today. I want to do 4 hours a day. Come on in, Silver, then Dale, then Mark. And go ahead. Come on.
Well, let's see. I'm not allowed to cuss in here. Okay.
The government says you can, Joe.
Oh, it does?
Yeah, the government says you can.
Oh. I won't do it. Here's what I got. DNT VAC. Do not take the vaccine.
Don't take it. Don't take it.
Period.
And if your pastor, what if your pastor's telling you to, Joe? What should people do?
Knock your pastor off his shelf.
That's right, brother. That's right. Aborted babies in that thing, right?
That's right.
Yep, yep, yep. Stand up and speak up. Are you done, Joe? Yeah, yeah. Come on in, Dale.
No, I'm never done, but yeah.
I got you. Dale, then Mark. Mark, Dale's in, then Mark, then Myra. Go ahead.
Hey, amen, brother. I had sent you that little meme. I think it's
yes, I saw it's great.
Well, that I saw that. I said that was just spot on what it is, and that's exactly we are not saved to be silent. And then I just thought about, and you know, I rewrote that song from Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah.
And it's called The Sin of Silence. And if I could just read the first verse even, it says, "Hello, Jesus, my best friend. I've come to pray through you again. Cause delusion's strong sweeping left its tares in men that are sleeping. And your mission that was planted in my brain still remains and confronts the sin of silence."
Wow, sin of silence, brother. Bible says it is. Dale, you have to sing that for us here one day. Mark, Trump, and Myra.
Yeah, nothing new on the face of the earth, Coach. So there's a precedence for this.
Right.
There's a precedence for why people don't follow. All right, everyone that we talk about, the Jews getting on a train, they stood in line. There were big masses of them. The most I've heard is, well, if they didn't, they would have shot them. Okay, now what I'm saying is that's where it's going here.
It is.
Okay, so are we going to let it get that far where if we don't take the vaccine or if we don't do this thing, whatever they say, they're going to shoot you? But they've already got these camps. They've already got these things.
Yes.
So there's a precedence for, we can look back and see exactly everything Hitler did was
legal.
Legal. There you go.
Amen, Mark. Amen. Myra, come on in.
Yes. Good morning, Coach. Good morning, my brothers and sisters. Thank you for seeing my hand. I had it up first thing in the morning, but it went to you.
I was on the wrong page on my screen. My fault. I'm sorry.
No worries. God bless you. This is a message for Jeff Krein. Jeff Krein, I have been praying for your mom because she took the shot, and I have family members contemplating taking the shot. So my heart goes to you, and I'll keep you. I keep everybody in my prayers. Thank you.
Thank you. Bless you, Myra. Bless you, Myra. Let me try to put a bow on this thing. Did I miss anybody wanting to get in? Jack, your hand just go up. I think it did. Just trying to hit.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Jeff.
I just want to thank Myra for that. But you know what I was doing right exactly when she said that? Because this struck me. As soon as she said, "Jeff Klein, I'm texting. Here's my message to my mother." Now, she's going to be hot. I said, "Do not take that second vaccine shot. It is killing people." Oh, she's going to be livid. She will be livid today.
Hey, Jeff, the thing up on the screen right now, just a second, Jack. This guy's a whistleblower. He said the seniors in the nursing homes are dying like flies. They're dropping like flies because they're being given this vaccination, and they're dying. They're dying from it. Go ahead, Jack.
Hey, Jeff, tell them about the railroad
track. Oh, I'm just going to suggest maybe we ought to make a statement and start wearing masks made like that funny yellow star with our COVID vaccine ID number on it.
Yeah, maybe. Hey, Jack, we found out, by the way, 80% of COVID tests are false positives. You guys know that? Didn't see that one in the news either, did you? 80% of COVID tests are false positives, folks. Whoops! Sorry! Come on in, Joseph.
I'll say it again. I got two EMT guys in my church, and all they've been doing is taking people to the hospital that have taken the COVID shot.
Yeah, the nurse for our Gail's oncology doctor, we talked to her yesterday before the doctor came in, and she had a really, really rough time with her second shot. She wasn't sure she was going to make it through.
Hey, Spencer, throw that up on the screen, what you just had up there, brother, if you can. 80%, it said. Look on the screen. Oh, okay. No, that's not what I referred to. But I appreciate your efforts there, Spencer. Hey, 7 to 9 tonight, John Diamond. We'll do a call just like this. I don't think there'll be interaction, but you'll be able to watch exactly what it is. It's John's teaching, and we'll archive it. It'll be there tomorrow. You can pick it up then. JR on his show tomorrow is having Pastor Dale Socha as his guest. Last call. That's it from 10 till noon. So you get 2 hours, maybe. I don't know if you get that long with Dale, but Dale, I can't take 2 hours of you. But just
heck no.
Just kidding. But support both of those brothers. And man, what a time to be alive, right? Spend your life in a noble cause. Man. What's going to be on my tombstone, Joseph? Here lies a dangerous man. Dangerous to the devil. God bless y'all. We'll see you on, God, see you to some of you tonight, and rest of you, we'll see you on Monday. God bless you.